And welcome to the telecast this week. I'll tell you, it is so good. Amen. The Word of God is so good. We're finding freedom in this place here today. We're finding the power of the Holy Ghost here in this place today. And you can join us, praise God. And we invite you to do so right now, praise the Lord, as we continue our study this week on the cross and the Holy Spirit. And once again, I want to explain that one of the biggest reasons why I felt led of the Lord to actually insert these programs here, it's out of series. It's, you know, the Lord's been dealing with my heart about possibly doing a series on Romans chapter 6, Galatians chapter 5, the sin nature, spiritual adultery. That's an interesting one. Several series that the Lord placed on my heart to deliver to you by way of this broadcast. But we're out of series right now with some ancillary topics, really. And this topic is the cross and the Holy Spirit, because I want to convey to you, you know, you're not watching someone that hasn't been through some things. And I don't say that pridefully, but I say it for this reason. Sometimes we get it in our minds that we're saved and we love Jesus with all of our heart. We love the Word. We know the Word. Sometimes God is using us to bring other people to the Lord and to teach other people Scripture. And we're full of the Holy Ghost. We're in Christ. And we think that we can, on our own, defeat sin. And we get into trouble because that's incorrect. The sin nature is far more powerful than any of us can handle on our own. We've got to have the help of the Holy Spirit. And that's the way that God intended it from the very inception of the law of God that was given to Moses on Mount Sinai. God knew that man, on his own, man in his own strength, by his own ability, by his own power, man could not keep the law. God knew that from the very beginning. He gave the law for many reasons, but one of the reasons that the Lord gave the law of God, and the law of God is good and holy and righteous and just, he gave that law to show us that we've got to have him or we're in big trouble. We are in big trouble if our salvation or if our victory, either way, depends on us. But thank God today it doesn't. It depends on Jesus and what he did. And we don't live by law. The law will be fulfilled in us as we trust Christ, but we live by grace. And the grace of God has already dealt with sin, praise God. Now, I know a lot of people think, well, you're just giving people a license to sin. First of all, people are going to sin without a license. And secondly, if that's what you think we're teaching you here, that sin is not important, that you can just sin and get by with it, you're mistaken. You're badly mistaken, and you don't know too much about the Word of God. That's not what we're teaching you. Sin, to be frank with you, is the problem. And we must overcome sin. We must have victory over sin. We must be overcomers, praise God. The Scripture's clear. At the same time, Jesus Christ has already dealt with the sin issue. Our issue really is a belief issue. And we live under grace, and you better pray to God I'm right. Because every one of us has done things that will flat out send you, you know, you split hell wide open. Let's just be honest about it. We've said things, we've thought things, we've done things that would split hell wide open. But praise be to God, we don't have to die and go lost today. We have a sacrifice. We have a Redeemer. Hallelujah. His name is Jesus Christ. And he dealt with sin upon the cross. And when you receive him, and when you place your faith in his sacrifice and identify with that, he gives you his righteousness. He gives you His victory. He gives you, hallelujah, what He gives you is so glorious and wonderful. I don't ever want to go back to a works-based, performance-based relationship with God. Not ever. Now some would say, well, Brother Paxton, so it's okay to sin? No. They did this. They said the same thing to Paul in Romans 6 and 1, and he said, God forbid. We don't sin. We're dead to sin. We're alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. But that's the key. It is not through our own efforts. It's not through our own abilities, our own strengths, our own prowess. It's through Jesus Christ our Lord that we are dead to sin. And the believer really is to have no relationship to the law other than the law of God is what Christ fulfills in our hearts. He writes it on our heart and He fulfills it through our lives. So the believer will keep the moral law of God, and the believer will keep the Ten Commandments, and the believer will do Christian disciplines, most definitely, but it will be because they are birthed in the life of that believer by the precious Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit works entirely, exclusively, in totality, 100%. The Holy Spirit works within the parameters of what Christ has done for us at the cross. Amen. And that guarantees the success of this thing. Amen. Now, I left off last week by telling you, you know, that everything done on the earth by the Godhead was done by the Holy Spirit, with one exception. The Holy Spirit did not hang on the cross. That was the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, that hang on the cross. But even then, the Holy Spirit functioned in every capacity in the Master's life and ministry. The Holy Spirit told Jesus the very moment to die upon the cross. You think of what I'm telling you today. Praise be to God. Now, just before he ascended to heaven, the last message that Christ gave to his followers and his closest disciples as well was the necessity of them first all being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Let's read that from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 4 through 5. And being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them. That's a strong statement. That's a military term. He commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, you have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. His statement was not a suggestion, it was a command. He was telling them, do not go preach, do not go teach, do not go build Bible colleges, do not go on the mission field, don't do anything in my name until you have first been baptized in the Holy Ghost, praise God. And we, of course, you know, we believe, preach and teach, that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is accompanied by the initial evidence of speaking with other tongues. You don't speak in tongues to be saved, but that's the initial evidence that one has received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is a subsequent work to salvation. But we're not going to teach on the Holy Spirit baptism here today. I just want you to see the basic understanding of how the Holy Spirit works. How the Holy Spirit does anything in the life of the believer is through the believer's faith being properly placed in Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross. Amen. The Holy Spirit, and here's the reason why, in a nutshell, in a word, here's the reason why it's that way. Here's why our faith must be in Christ and not in our flesh. Our own self-effort, our own ability, our own education, our own denomination, our religious affiliations, or anything of this nature, is because fallen man cannot produce anything that God will honor and bless. Let me say that again. I don't care how educated, I don't care how well-intentioned, I don't care how brilliant, I don't care how... I don't care how well-intentioned the individual might be. Listen to Brother Paxton today. The Holy Spirit will not bless that which originates with fallen man. The Holy Spirit will bless only that which He conceives. Anything that God does on this earth, and I mean anything and everything that God does upon this earth, must first of all be conceived by the Holy Spirit. You think of that. If it's not conceived by the Spirit, if it's not birthed by the Spirit, then God cannot bless it. It's just that simple. God does not bless human effort. Somebody asked me the question not long ago, well, Brother Lynn, then, are you telling me that if I try harder, God won't bless that? No, God won't bless that. What does God bless? Faith. Faith. He blesses what Jesus purchased. Now, I'm not telling you give up and don't try. Come on, let's be adults. Let's don't be children. But what I'm saying is, obviously, if we could try harder and win, would not we have already won? Think of that a moment. If we could try harder and deliver ourselves, would not we already be delivered? Would not victory already belong to us then? The answer, my friend, is not in trying harder. The answer is you putting your faith in the proper object. The answer is for your efforts to be in the right direction. It's not that you just sit down on your duff and don't do anything. That's not what we're teaching you. But your efforts need to be channeled correctly. That's Christ, Him crucified. That's who you look to. That's who you deal with. Every believer must be filled with the Spirit, must be led by the Spirit, must be guided by the Spirit, must be empowered by the Spirit, praise God. And thereby we must seek the Lord constantly, that the Holy Spirit will have His way within our hearts and lives. Amen. And remember, we're seeking the way of the Holy Spirit, not our way. Not necessarily the way we think it ought to be, but the way of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Because fallen man cannot produce anything. The Holy Spirit will not bless that, no matter how well-intentioned it is. The Holy Spirit only blesses that which He conceives. So what we do as Christians, who may be struggling with a problem, we may have a difficulty, whatever the case might be, we place our faith in what Jesus Christ did at Calvary. Lord, here is this temper problem. I am dead to this temper problem. Temper is produced by the sin nature, and Lord, I know that You defeated that 2,000 years ago at Calvary. And now I am trusting You to take that thing out of my heart. We're not talking to you, beloved, about behavior modification. We are talking about man having a change of heart. And only, praise God, only the Holy Spirit can change man's heart. Education can't do it. Church affiliation can't do it. Study alone can't do it. Relationships can't do it. The only thing that can change the heart of wicked, fallen man is Jesus Christ and Him crucified, the precious blood that He shed on Calvary's cross. And when you begin to trust that, glory be to God, you will be delivered. Praise God. I sense the presence of God on that. Glory ba 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 shandarabuse. When you trust what Jesus did, the cross, when you trust His precious blood that was shed for you, you will be brought out of sin and into victory. You'll be brought out of bondage. You'll be delivered from bondage by Jesus Christ. A man cannot deliver you. Only Jesus can deliver you. Please hear me today. The Holy Spirit will only bless that which He conceives. Amen. In the final analysis, no matter how much religious machinery is attached to our lives, it will accomplish nothing for the Lord. The Lord will only bless that which He Himself conceives. Okay? Now, how does the Holy Spirit work? And we may have to go into this for a third week. But I think the first thing I would like for you to do is to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of St. John, chapter 14, John 14, and we'll read the 16th and 17th verses. John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, and here's what the Bible says. Well, let's start with verse 14, John 14, 14. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. These are the words of Christ. Now, let me point something out about that. If you shall ask anything in my name, I shall do it. What a promise. What a powerful promise. Everything that we ask must line up with His character and His will. And then He'll do it. And that is the understood subject of what's being said here. It's not so much that I ask God for $16 trillion and it's just going to show up magically. It's not that I plug into some type of super spiritual faith formula and all of a sudden I'm an instant millionaire. That doesn't happen, and it's not of God anyway. But what He is saying here, if what we ask, if what we're believing for, if what we're trying to obtain from the Lord lines up with His character and with His will, He will grant it. He will do it for us. Praise God. He said in verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, that's an important statement, because the commandments, then, according to Jesus Christ, the commandments of God must be kept by the believer. But how we keep it is all how we attempt to be obedient to that. How we attempt to be obedient is the all-important situation for us. His commandments can be kept only in one way. The believer must ever make Christ and the cross the object of their faith, which will then give the Holy Spirit latitude to work within our lives, praise God, and help us do these things which we must do. We must keep the law. We have to keep the law, in a sense now. We keep the commandments. But how we keep it is what we're addressing ourselves to. Do I go out and try to work my way into the kingdom of God? Of course not. I believe. I trust Christ. That's the answer for every believer, to keep the commandments. And let me tell you this. In that way, in the proper way, the commandments can be kept. It's not too hard for me not to steal. It's not too hard for me not to lie. It's not too hard for me not to grow angry anymore these days. I used to have a real problem with anger. Amen? But it's no difficulty for me at all now, because my faith is in the proper object, and Jesus gives the sweet victory. Praise God, and you can have victory too, whoever you may be today. And in verse 16, the scripture says, Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter. Parakletos is the Greek word. It means one called to the side of another to help. And we're giving, He said, I'm giving you this other comforter that He may abide with you forever. Praise God. The Holy Spirit will not leave us, hallelujah, as long as we're following Christ. Before the cross, the Holy Spirit could only help just a few individuals, and then only for a period of time. However, since the cross, I love that. I'm going to preach a sermon one day on since the cross. Since the cross, the Holy Spirit lives in the hearts and lives of believers, and He does so forever. Praise God. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth. Now the Greek says, the Spirit of the truth. It's a definite article, the truth, which refers to the Word of God. Actually, he does far much more than merely superintend the attribute of truth. Christ is truth, 1 John 5 and 6. Whom the world cannot receive. The Holy Spirit can, you know, now it says here, whom the world cannot receive. The Holy Spirit cannot come into the heart of an unbeliever until that person makes Christ his or her Savior. Then the Holy Spirit can come in. Then the Holy Ghost can come. Hallelujah. So, that's your first step today. The first step in living in victory, the first step in living in the power of God is to get saved. Give your heart to Christ Jesus and follow Him with everything that's in you. And God will at that moment begin to do a mighty work in your life, and it'll be a great process all the days of your life. Amen. That's what God wants for us. The world cannot receive the Holy Spirit. You got to be saved to receive the Holy Spirit. The reason the world can't receive the Holy Spirit, because it sees Him not, neither knows Him, the Bible says. Neither knows Him. Only born-again Christians can understand the Holy Spirit. The world out here can talk about the Holy Spirit all it wants to, but only born-again Christians can understand the Holy Spirit. I had a lady one time, and I mean, this lady's something else anyway. She tried to destroy a lot of what God wants to do in this ministry. But this woman told me one time, said, well, I hypnotize people, and the Holy Spirit helps me do it. Liar, liar. The Holy Spirit does not deal with demons. Hypnotism's demonic. The Holy Spirit doesn't borrow from Satan to do his work. Liar, liar. You ought to at least tell the truth about God anyway. But see, they don't know God. So it's hard to talk truthfully about God. So the world sees Him not, neither knows Him, but you know Him. The Christian knows the Holy Spirit. And really what it says is you shall get to know Him. So this is a relationship that a believer has with the Holy Spirit. And it says, for He dwells with you, this was before the cross, and shall be in you, which would take place on the day of Pentecost and forward, because the sin debt had been forever paid by Christ on the cross. So that changed the disposition of everything, beloved. We're going to leave off today, and that's where we're going to pick it back up next week, talking about now, after the cross, because the sin debt was paid by Jesus Christ on Calvary, now that opens up the way for the Holy Spirit to reside permanently in the believer. Amen. It's all because of the cross. The cross and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit and the cross. The relationship is undeniable from the Word of God. Jesus made it possible by what He did at Calvary for you and I to walk in Holy Spirit victory every day of our lives. Amen. And we can do that if we'll put our faith and trust in what Jesus has done for us. So don't miss next week, as we will conclude next week, by the grace of God, this little teaching on the cross and the Holy Spirit. Father, bless my audience right now in the name of Jesus, and lead them today. Lead us all into the victory of Calvary for our lives. Teach us by the power of Your Holy Spirit that we're talking about here today, Lord. And we love You for it. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Why don't you write to me this week? Write to Len Paxton at Acts 26:18 Ministries, Post Office Box 5714, Traverse City, Michigan 49696. Include your prayer request when you write. And let us know that you've been watching the program. Amen. And until next week, when we come together again and study the Word of God together, this is Evangelist Len Paxton saying, go with God, and He will go with you. Bless you. Thank you for